something like this. Check this out.
She's a man from Popcorn HQ. We're back once again with another episode of Beyond the Synopsis, where we take a deep dive into a new comic book issue, trade paperback, any kind of new release, and get a little more in-depth than what you might find in a pre-order previews synopsis or something given out by publishers. And where better to get that from than the creator themselves. Today I'm joined by someone familiar to Popcorn HQ. He's been on a few times in other interviews for, mostly it's me kind of fanboying a little bit, but so I'm joined today by the storyteller, the screenwriter, the poker player, the creator and writer of science fiction hits like Eclipse, Forever Forward, Metal Society, Port of Earth, Join the Future, Mindset. He also has another series coming up soon with Dark Horse Comics called Kill All Immortals. But now what we're talking about today is his latest, that he's come back to Vault Comics with his latest project entitled Beyond Real, the 5-issue miniseries that asks the question, what if we're living in a simulation, but instead of a Matrix kind of like environment, it's actually a beautiful and artistic creation, and you know, one far beyond our imagination and comprehension. We'll tap a little bit. I have some things to say on that. So after all that, I'm joined today by Zach Kaplan. Zach, hi. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, hi, man. You know, your intros are getting longer just because all the stuff you're cranking out, man.
Sorry, that's a problem for you, not for me. Yeah,
that's not a problem, man. I love it.
We've known each other, I think, was it Eclipse? I feel like it was Eclipse.
It was Eclipse.
Yeah, my first series. So it's
I know we've done conventions where, you know, when you were first selling Eclipse and picking up variants from you and exclusives, and you know, that rolled over into Port Earth, and you know, and it's just
on and on
from there.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Love your work, and I knew I would get into this. So one thing I want to kind of just spotlight real quick is that something that you sent out to press is you mentioned that this series, Beyond Real, is you actually considered an ambitious undertaking, and it is an understatement, given that you're going to have 7 different interior artists in this book.
Yeah.
And across five issue miniseries.
Yeah. It's just
so
a
it's a lot jammed in there.
Yeah.
How did you come to that decision, and how is that dynamic, you know, impact, you know, each of the 5 issues?
Yeah. It kind of all stemmed, I guess it all kind of came together, but, you know, the story is looking at what if we're living in a simulation, but in what if we're living in a more artistic simulation? And, I always just had this idea of a character going through these different layers of the simulation. And I thought this was just a really great opportunity, since the subject matter is to explore art and what it means to be an artist, what it means to create, to have different artists draw different parts of this book, and not even issue by issue, but different worlds. So, I mean, we pitched this idea to Vault Comics, and you know, one of the pretty much the perfect publisher you could ask for kind of a very risk-taking kind of project like this, and something that definitely steps out of the the center and take some chances. And it was, you know, a daunting undertest. Not only were we looking for seven different artists, but artists that really bring a distinct and impressive style of their own to each world. It's a murderer's row of talent. Fabiana Mascolo, Jordi Belair is coloring with her, Tony Fazzula, Vincenzo Riccardi, Jorge Corona, Liana Kangas, Dennis Menhir, Luana Vecchio, Hassan Osman Elha does our letters, and they're all helping to design this world, to pass on the characters, so you get to see the characters kind of going through the different styles of each artist and how each artist interprets the different characters. And so it's very collaborative, very logistically challenging to kind of put this all together, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's something I think that we're all really proud of. And a huge shout out to Adrian Wassel and Dershing Helmer, who are the editors, because this book was definitely more of an undertaking to put together than just an ordinary single artist, single colorist on the book. So yeah, it was a lot of scope for sure.
Yeah, it definitely can offer some challenges, but at the same time, like you said, you just have all these great people with giving their version, their view, and putting their artistic flair on your world, your environment, and your characters in this. And I want to talk with you about your character, your lead character, June. I did want to say that I've always appreciated Join the Future was a book that made me really recognize how well you're able to develop a character that's female. A lot of times, let's just put it that way. That was something I really appreciated and respected about that book, and it really came out that it meant a lot for you to not only tell the story, but to really, develop this character, to show you who she was. And it was really impressive. And that's why I knew going into this is going to be good. And it didn't fail me. So yeah, your lead character, June, she's already going through quite the ordeal, like almost instantaneously. Then you get towards like the last quarter of the book, and it just becomes like this mind-blowing just trip. I mean, it's a really, this seems to be really like a trippy type of science fiction story that you're telling here.
I think the first issue definitely has that. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we definitely are playing with the form and the comics medium a lot to try to amplify what the reader might be feeling, and to not just have five panels on a page, but to really use the form or break the form to convey the sensations that the character is feeling. So there's a lot of thought that we're putting into the form. The story is about this artist, June. She's kind of struggling and lost in her life. We meet her. She's kind of talking with her boyfriend about what if we're all living in a simulation. And she doesn't like the idea that her life is all planned out, that her pain and suffering is somehow predetermined. Then tragically, they're in a car accident. He is put in a coma, and she develops these strange phenomenons that start happening to her. And ultimately, she realizes that life is, in fact, a simulation, and she has the ability to travel through the many layers. She sets out on a sort of Wizard of Oz kind of quest to rescue, to find the creator of the simulation and rescue her lover from his coma. But it's also a very a journey of self-discovery. It's a love letter to artists and very much about what we go through as artists. And yeah, she's a very complex character, I think, very headstrong, very heartfelt. And I think you definitely get a lot of that in the first issue. And I enjoy writing characters like that. I enjoy writing strong young women. I think I've written several of Metal Society, Join the Future, Lost City Explorers. I enjoy writing heroines who are trying to find their way in the world and have something to say. And it's a lot of, I take a lot of joy in that type of character. And June is definitely that type. And she was a lot of fun to bring to life.
Yeah. You instantly, you're behind her, you're rooting for her. You're following her, and you just see how strong of an individual she is. But yeah, like towards the end there, it gets really trippy. I mean, visually, this book, I mean, you have moments where it's, you know, some pretty serious, intense action. And then all of a sudden, it almost looks like 3D, like 3D glasses imagery without the glasses, where you kind of have the reds and the blues.
Yeah.
And then it bounces off, and then it's something else. You know, I also appreciated the, I really like kind of the off-screen dialogue that happened for a little bit there, where even the dialogue bubbles were kind of off.
Yeah.
And you guys are having fun with the layout. Full page spread, double page spread, multiple panel. I mean, it's all over the place, but it's just so exciting that, and it just steamrolls until the end.
I had some great collaborators. Fabiana Mascolo is a rock star of an artist to be able to play with form in this way, and then to capture really tender moments for June. It's just really some inspiring work. Jordi Belair is an Eisner winner and one of the best colorists in the industry. And her work in this, she just brings so much life and texture to Fabiana's pages. And so, yeah, it's a real dream to collaborate with this level of artists and to throw a gauntlet down of all these different types of pages and spreads and things to try, and then to see them, you know, just have so much talent and bring it so far. So yeah, we're really proud of the first issue. And you know, it's interesting. I mean, it is a really heartfelt issue. I really am hoping that people pick it up and not only are excited by the visual aesthetics that we're playing with in the form, but I you know, there's a lot of heart in this first issue, and I really.
There are definitely emotional components that I felt through, that it was like, oh wow, this is getting kind of serious. And it was like, oh wow, this is, so you're kind of going on this train a little bit, but it's a good kind of,
yeah,
good kind of ride that you're on. And
thank you.
Yeah, dude, I love it. And you know, I'm always going to be a fan of your work. So I may be a little biased, but what can we look for number two?
Yeah, I mean,
issue two, like I said before when we were off camera, that I plan on taking a look at it, giving it a read, but I didn't want to before this. But especially with just how exciting and how big issue one was and is going to be for readers. I know you've already gotten two and three in the bag.
We do. Yeah. Issue two is drawn by Tony Fajula. This is an amazing artist who did a TKO book called Forgotten Blade. I believe that was last year. Just known for an immense amount of detail and a real geometric feel. It's really amazing to get a sense of both scope and intensity that he brings on his pages. And so he's the artist in the first world that June goes on this adventure, and just breathtaking artwork. She meets some allies, she meets some enemies. But the adventure is on, and it's very much too, I think what readers will find is there's an adventure component as she's going through this journey and facing challenges. There's also her own personal self-discovery. And then against each issue, there's these kind of real existential questions about determinism and about the experience that an artist faces. You know, artists face questions like, should I follow the rules or should I break them? Should I, how do I find my own style? Should I copy another style, or do I, you know, do something completely unique and avant-garde? And so June actually ends up kind of facing these sorts of questions and challenges in the adventure as she's going towards going through the simulation. And then we, you know, ultimately we're wondering what is at the end of this journey, what is down this rabbit hole. And so it just gets crazier and crazier, and every issue is absolutely beautiful. Vincenzo Riccardi draws issue three, another gorgeous issue. I mean, it's really, I don't say this lightly. I genuinely feel like this will be one of the most beautiful books of the year. These artists are doing some really amazing things, and it is mind-blowing, and it's definitely the kind of book I think you want to pick up monthly, because each issue stands on its own with such amazing artwork. It's just gorgeous stuff.
And definitely kudos to the Vault team for not only picking it up, but like you said, like Adrian Wassel over there. Your artist, because I know Tony was also sharing illustrations in this first issue with Fabiana, correct?
Tony has a couple of pages in the first issue as well. Yes, on issue one. And then Tony does a bulk of issue two.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of an overlap, but
the overlap gets crazy by issue four and five. I mean, predominantly the issues one through three have Fabiana and Jordi Belair do most of issue one. Tony has a little bit. Tony does most of issue two. Vincenzo does most of issue three. Issues four and five is Jorge Corona, Liana Kangas, Luana Vecchio, Dennis Menhir, all kind of, you got to amp things up when you get towards the climax of something. Fabiana has some pages at the very end. So it's like, it all kind of comes together. It's really a very amazing symphony of and talent going back and forth.
Is Hassan staying with you through the whole series?
Yes, and he's okay. Lettering. Hassan Osman Elha, one of the best letterers in comics right now. So worthy of Eisner nominations and wins. He has designed a lettering style that fits for the whole series, but changes form every time the style changes. So he's essentially lettering different styles for every artist's world. It's just, come on, crazy.
Yeah. 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 That's a true gift, man. People are going to love this thing from top to bottom. It's exciting. It's like you said, there's emotion in it. It's, June and her journey, like you had mentioned earlier in the interview that, she doesn't believe, that things are predetermined. It is that story of her belief in free will. And this is really going to be a fun ride. And anyone knows anything about Zach's books, this isn't going to be issue number one. It's really exciting. And the other four are going to fall flat. Right. I know we've only scratched the surface, and this is, it's most certainly going to be a wild ride and just get even crazier.
Well, simulation theory is this real, you touched on that aspect again. And I'll just say that's one of the things I'm most excited to hear people as they digest this series, to hear their thoughts and their reactions on, because this idea that we're living in a simulation has kind of caught fire in the science community. And there's a lot of more scientists who kind of said, there's some possibility that we're living inside a simulation. There's some possibility when you study quantum physics, there's some when you look at how far computers are coming. And so if we are, how do you square free will into that? How do you square the fact that, everything in life follows a trajectory and a path and a form, but art is chaos and mess and heart and emotion? And is our humanity artistic, or is our humanity planned? I just think there's a really interesting duality there, and the book really kind of throws both theories out there. And I'm really excited to let readers digest it all. Hopefully, right, it'll make them think, and hopefully they'll come back and say, it's definitely this, or it's definitely that, or I need to talk about this book.
You're no stranger to that. Yes, you're working in a science fiction genre, but you even do look at and kind of touch or maybe even question what could be science fact.
Yeah.
How do you personally, as a creator, a writer, and a fan, a lover of the genre, stay that connected into, because you're gonna have to be staying current a lot of science that's going on right now. Anytime things are going, we're hearing things, getting images back from billions of years, light years away. And just how everything science keeps hitting in there. How do you keep your, you know, your ear to the ground in that area and you know, still take the time to be able to manifest it into a comic book format?
I don't find it hard to come up with new ideas. And I'm just a curious person, and I'm fascinated by a lot of science things and futurist things. And it's not hard for me to come up with fertile ground. I think, you know, spending the time to make these questions true and authentic when they're dramatized into a story, so that, you know, we can talk about simulation theory, but in an interesting way. We can talk about it as it relates to the premise of creating something, and life is all creation, and we are all creators. We all create things ourselves. Let's talk about that experience. And so I think trying to find the essence of these things, I mean, mindset was similar. Mindset was all about mind control, but it was all about technology. And let's talk about how our technology controls us and how we control each other. Sure. You know, join the future was all about how we idolize technology, but what are we sacrificing as we embrace futurism? And so,
and look what we're seeing parallels right now with AI and things like that, that there is that questioning about, you know, when, you know, how far is too far, and you know, when are the Cylons coming?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are topical questions. And so I feel like there's plenty of them to explore. And I just like to find new ways into the conversation and kind of say, hey, what about this? What about looking at it with this skin and this through this lens? I'm having a blast doing it. And, you know, I haven't run into a wall yet. So far, so good.
Awesome, man. Dude, you know what? I'm excited for this to actually be in print.
I'm gonna be
picking up a set of the Signature Series. I've done that once before, I think, with the Canto team for their books from Collector's Paradise at comicsandcards.net. And I know that could be one of the stores. I know, since they have three stores, right? Winnetka and
I will be doing a signing with Collector's Paradise, but we have not figured out the particulars about that. So I hold off on mentioning any dates.
Oh, sure. Well, I know sometimes they even have somewhere you bounce around where, at, you know, 10 a.m. you're at this store. Hey,
and then you're over here.
See me at one. I'm down
That's
the road.
Right. That's right. That happens.
Anyways, Zach, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. Shout out to Vault Comics. So Zach, thanks again for taking the time. And
thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm sure we'll be seeing you at a convention real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you.
And it goes a little something like this. Check this out. Check it out!